tonight. We thank the Lord. He gave us another good day. We're ready for another service. We're ready for the Lord to just continue to speak to us through the messages, through the singing. Make yourself at home. There's a couple that come with the hunters. We're thankful to have them, and I pray that I said to him jokingly, I said, I'm glad you came. You can keep him straight. He said, can't do that. But it's good to have them. It's good to have every one of you. Would you just set your feet under the table? Bow your heads. We're going to pray. Greg Bailey, please lead us in a word of prayer, if you would. Yes.
And honor you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your wonderful blessings.
Amen.
In our lives, Father. Father,
amen.
We praise you and honor you, Father, and acknowledge today, dear God, that without you sustaining
yes.
our life, Father,
yes.
that we would be nothing and we would have nothing. Father, we just praise you and honor you, Father, as the author and finisher of our faith, Father. Father, as the only one worthy to
amen.
Call, God.
Amen.
Father, we lift you up and honor you, Father, Father, we pray, dear Lord,
amen.
That you feel free in our service, that you would
amen.
Touch hearts, Father, that you would feel free
yes.
to anoint, Father, that you would feel free to bring conviction, Lord, conviction brought into hearts, Father. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit
yes.
would touch each of our hearts tonight. Father, we pray, dear God, that
everything
we hear tonight would honor and praise your kingdom. And Father, we dedicate this service to you.
Amen.
Ask, Father, that every word, deed, and action here tonight be done according to your will and your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen.
Amen. Amen. Please set your feet under the... We've come to worship. We're late to serve. Just enjoy yourself in the presence of the Lord. The choir's going to sing. Chris?
86.
Yeah. Oh,
Bless him, Lord.
Jesus tonight. So if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, you might want to just get up and do whatever he's saying. Amen.
Thank you. blessed. I'm blessed to stand right here between these two women. I admire them. I love standing beside Debbie. I love standing beside Bonnie. And I look back there at Debbie's parents, and I know you guys all know those are Debbie's parents, but if none of us knew, we would be able to pick you out of that crowd, stepping back there with that smile on your face. And, you know, it's just a good place to be.
Yeah.
And I just want to say I love the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You in the beginning.
Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on a man would think it tragedy. But what this world was when they nailed him to that tree. It would break the chains of sin's captivity.
Holy Lamb, one great high end, one sin only broke. Bless you, buddy.
Dear God, wanted to save the world. And what did he send? He didn't send a roaring lion, but he sent a lamb. He saved the world with a lamb.
Yeah.
Think about that. I missed the first 3 nights, so I've got to catch up with my testimony.
Bless you.
I was riding around today. It seems like this happens a lot. There's two boys with me, or two guys with me in the car, and one of them I think is Christian. He's pretty quiet, but the other one I know he is, and he's younger guy. I'm going to start talking to Andrew. He's the one in the back, and I was asking what he did in college and everything, and he said biology. So I thought, that's good. That's right. And I said, that's amazing. It's amazing how this life works, and it's amazing how our bodies work. And I started asking a bunch of questions. I just started saying, that we have a power system, that we have electricity in our bodies that run. I said that we get turned on, and we're like machines that last. Some of us last for 130 years.
Yeah.
Just like turning on a machine, and it lasts for 130 years. I said, isn't that amazing? And you didn't know what to say about that. I picked up my phone and I said, think of all the thought and the money and the resources that went into making this thing. I said, and a human being, think of what it takes to make a human being. Two people, and so much more advanced than this thing right here. And he said, well, I don't know about that. He said, these things have a lot of memory storage. I said, yeah, but can they recall those memories on their own? He said, well, no. I said, can this thing feed itself? He said, no. I said, can it take care of itself? No, I guess we are pretty advanced. I'm like, he never thought of these things. People don't think of these things.
That's right.
I just said, isn't it amazing, how our bodies work? And I said, even, because they started talking about cells, I said, in the cell, I said, you got everything in the cell that takes place. You got stuff that transfers. It's like a highway. You got a factory. You've got a printing place that splits and copies all of this information and all this stuff. And I said, isn't that amazing? Well, I guess so. You don't think about, he's not used to that way of thinking. He's used to thinking that we're not special. He's used to thinking that the world, that earth is not special, that life is not special, that all this stuff is just by accident. And so I challenged him today, in that kind of thinking. I think you start to realize, how amazing we are made, and we are made in God's image. I don't know. I just got to shock you a little bit today.
Yeah.
Shock you with some things that challenge you. Because people need to be challenged.
Amen.
I was thinking about that. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that God gives us so many clues to know that He's there, that He's in control. And He just lets us, He reminds me a lot that He's in control, and I'm thankful that He's in control. I feel good tonight. I do have a request for a song once I get done. If you could sing The Love of God, Chris, if you could sing The Love of God for me. And I want you all to listen to those words, because they try their best to explain the love of God. It doesn't come close to the way He makes us feel. So
yeah.
I appreciate you singing that.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Well, I'm going to let you all sing before I sing that. Get your hymnal, turn to page number 20 as the choir goes down. Page number 20. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The
hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's stairway. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we think the ocean and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the and dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Clear. What a powerful song. Yeah. I memorized a verse just so that I can get a little reward from them. The Lutheran Church come to Calvary. Bless you. Bless you, Julie. I'm sorry.
Back and forth, and I feel right. So when I picked Alex up from school, I said, Alex, I'm so torn about what to do. I said, your coach called, and your first basketball practice is this evening at 7. And I said, I'm supposed to sing with the choir. And without hesitation, he said, Mom, let's just put God first.
Amen. Yeah.
I knew what the right thing to do. I knew that. But it's nice that a 9-year-old knows that we should do what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
I thank him this evening.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm telling you, he's here. He's here. All hearts and minds clear. I want you to stand with us. We have a lot of stand with us. We have a lot of sick folks in hospitals and nursing homes. A lot of folks are hurting tonight. Brother Bailey lost his sister. Bernard Bailey lost his sister. We need to lift him up. Remember Bob. Bob is going through some deep, deep trials in his sickness. And he just, I hope he don't get discouraged on me. He said that they put him in the nursing home, and I think she talked to me tonight and said that probably Thursday she's going to get to take him home. I probably shocked her. I said, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't think she's a Christian, not to my knowledge. But I want you to remember them. Anybody else have a request for a need? If you don't want to make it, just raise your hand. Yes, yes. Amen. 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 I just want to make a special request. We have a grandson that's driving back from Oklahoma. He's finished some 3 weeks training for his job, and I want you to remember him in prayer. I'm sure his little girl's anxious. My wife texted him, and he said, and I'm anxious to see them both. Those are my two girls. I was glad to hear that. Everybody, amen. Amen. Jimmy, lead us in the word of prayer. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that your spirit would be among us, Father, Lord, that we would be obedient to it. Lord, that we would open our hearts, Father, Lord, to say what you would have us to say and to hear what you would have us to hear.
Yes.
Lord, that we wouldn't be hearers and not doers, Lord, that we would be hearers and doers. We pray, Lord, that you just touch us, Lord, the Holy Spirit, and just open our hearts, Father, Lord. We pray for all these prayer requests, Lord, especially, Lord, Wendy, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would feel your presence.
Yes,
Father,
yes, Lord, yes.
Know that you're there. Know that you're in control.
Yes, yes.
Pray, Lord, that you just help.
Yes.
Not only receive it, Lord, but we would attend to it and help it to grow in our hearts.
Father. Amen.
It would bear fruit in our life. We thank you for all these things you give us, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Remain standing. I'm going to call the evangelist up. You won't have to get up. You won't have to get a lot of exercise. You might tell someone, well, I've already got my exercise. But that's all right. I thought as they were playing, I need to pay them a compliment. You know, when Jimmy was playing, and they do this often in our services, these instruments are, they're marvelous. And I thought tonight, Kermit, when David would get troubled, he'd grab that old harp.
That's right.
He'd grab that old harp. There's something about music that blesses me, lifts me up in anger. You pray for our evangelist. It's been an honor to have him this week, and I'm looking for another powerful message in the Lord. Kermit Hunter, bless your heart. Bless you, buddy. Bless your heart.
Amen. If you would, while you're standing, turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 33. What a wonderful place that has been tonight. I honestly say the singing this week has been absolutely marvelous. I mean, the singing has been wonderful. But there's something about this choir. They have a special place in our heart. I just don't believe you'll hear better singing on this side of eternity. Till you gather together in front of the angels and listen to the angels sing, you'll not hear any better singing than this choir does. This blesses our heart, and I thank God for this choir. You all keep up the good work. But we've had wonderful singing. I don't take nothing away from the singing. We've had those groups where they were spiritual. They had wonderful songs. They had beautiful voices. They sang their hearts out. But there's just something about this choir that we dearly love. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, begin reading at verse 26. There is none like unto the God of Jerusalem, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help, and in the excellency on the sky, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine also. His heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. The shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father and Almighty God, again as we come before thy throne of grace, our Heavenly Father, again we bow our unworthy heads before thee. We give thee all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God, because you watched over us and cared for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of salvation so freely given to whosoever will, for a precious Savior and the wonderful presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But, O God, we ask thy blessings now upon the preaching of thy precious word. Our Heavenly Father, open our hearts and our minds of understanding. Help us, O God, to be obedient unto thee. Heavenly Father, thou knowest the needs of the hour. We pray that those needs will be met in thee tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the wonderful singing that we've heard, how that has blessed our hearts and lifted us up tonight. And, O God, we just thank you for your marvelous grace. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'd go with us and guide us. Lead us, our Heavenly Father, for it's in Jesus' precious name and for his sake these things we humbly ask, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight we want to look for a few moments here in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 33, we find that Moses now has come to the end of his line. We find that the children of Israel have won. in the wilderness for 40 years, and God has brought them back now to the place that they're going to cross over into the promised land. Joshua now is being prepared to lead the children of God. We find here in chapter 32 the Song of Solomon, or Song of Moses. We find this song, beloved, that God instructed the children of Israel that they were to memorize this song, and they were to sing this song. Also in chapter 33, we find that Moses now blesses each of the tribes of the children of Israel. And he gives this advice here, the scriptures that we read. And from this we find that God took him up into Mount Nebo. And there at the top of Mount Pisgah, beloved, God allowed Moses to look over into the promised land. And he showed him where the children of Israel would be living. Beloved, God supernaturally, I believe, looked over that land. It had to be supernaturally. If you wonder how big that land is that Israel actually owns over there, it's 300,000 square miles. They're encamped now on a little postage stamp, but they own that land over there because God gave it to them. Those that are there and are fighting them are squatters on the land that God has given to the children of Israel. But we find, beloved, that Moses now is 120 years old, and the Bible says, and his eye was not dim, neither was his natural forces abated. In other words, he was in perfect health when he went to the top of that mountain, beloved. I don't know how that God done it, but God took Moses to himself, beloved, into paradise, and God took care of the funeral services. Even the devil does not know where Moses was buried. But we find, beloved, as we look at these scriptures, and every time that I read them, I'm reminded of God and how great and how big that God is, beloved. We, many times, when we think of God, we think of him as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. The next time that we see him, he's nailed to a cross. Then after the resurrection, we see him walking and talking with the disciples, and then he's caught up in the air, beloved, when he went back home to be with the Lord. Then we kind of forget who God really is, and we find here that Moses said, he said, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Jeshurun means the children of Israel, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. Beloved, we need to get a picture of who God is. I like this thing. I scribbled some things down here that I always like to go back and look at it. And it puts God in perspective, beloved. Many times we think of God as a small God, but we find here, beloved, it says that Dr. Harlow Shapley, a former professor of astronomy at the Harvard University, these are some things that they found. I don't know how long ago that this was written. It may have been updated since then. But it says they believe that there's 100 million planets out there that would sustain higher life forms. You think about that for a little bit. 100 million planets, and that's all that puny man can see. I do not know whether they can prove that or not, beloved. But it gives you an idea of this universe that God created, beloved. The firmament in which God placed the stars, the sun and the moon, beloved. He goes on to say that the sun, we look at it every day, but do we really think about the sun? The sun is 865,370 miles in diameter. 865,000 miles in diameter. That's a pretty good size light, beloved. It also says that the moon is 2,160 miles in diameter. The earth is 7,962 miles in diameter. And it would take 1 million Earths Earths to fill the interior of the sun. 1 million Earths to fill the interior of the sun. When we speak about the stars and the heavens, beloved, we look up at them, but we fail to realize how magnificent and how large that the universe is. And what kind of a God is it, beloved, that could bring this into existence? It goes on to say, he said the sun's temperature is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Every year it burns 22 quadrillion. I don't know how many that tons that is. 22 quadrillion tons of hydrogen. It's nuclear powered, beloved. It burns that every year, 22 tons. It goes on to say that they believe that the sun at the present rate that it's burning hydrogen will be around for at least 4 billion years. That's what they be, 4 billion years, beloved. It goes on to say here that the Milky Way, the galaxy in which our solar system is in, the Milky Way in which our solar system is in, beloved, he says that to cross that Milky Way, he said, is 300,000 light years across. 300,000 light years across. If you had a rocket ship that would travel the speed of sound, 186,000 something in 62 miles, 282 miles per second, beloved, it would take, if you got in that spaceship and took off at that speed, 186,282 miles per second, you got into that rocket ship, and you took off, and you went 24 hours a day for 365 days a year, it would take you 300,000 years to cross the Milky Way, beloved. That's just a small galaxy that we have up here in the earth. We look at the Milky Way and we never think about that, beloved. But God said in the book of Jeremiah, he tells us in chapter 23 and verse 24, he says, do not I fill the heaven and the earth. Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, beloved. You think about that a little bit. We think about the babe in swaddling clothes. We think about Jesus nailed to the cross. We think about him walking with his disciples, teaching by the seashore. Beloved, we think about him performing miracles. But beloved, do we ever think that he's the eternal sovereign God, that his person fills the universe, beloved. It makes us realize how finite and how small that we are, beloved. We find here that God had brought the children of Israel out of bondage and out of slavery, beloved. And Moses here was speaking to the children of Israel. And beloved, as we said here tonight, if you're saved and redeemed, God has brought you out of slavery and bondage to sin, beloved. You've been released. You've been freed. Beloved, you're a child of God tonight. And beloved, this God who fills the universe, he's our God. And he's interested in you and I tonight. He said, I call my sheep by name. Can you imagine that? Do you think the President of the United States knows your name? Do you think your congressman really knows your name? Jesus said, my sheep, I call them by name, beloved. He knows our names. He knows our life. He knows our thoughts. He knows our needs, beloved. Brother, we serve a wonderful God tonight. My, how wonderful that it is. I turn back to the book of Genesis and I find there he didn't really make the sun at that time. But beloved, how casually that God spoke about the sun and the moon. Notice that it says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. That's all that he said about it.
You think about that sun that's up there 860-some thousand miles in diameter, and God simply said that he made a great light and he made a lesser light, and he said, I set them in the firmament, beloved, and it's still there, and it'll be there until God says it's enough. Aren't you glad today, beloved, that we know Christ is our own personal Savior? I can say that tonight. This great God, beloved, that created the heavens and the earth and set the stars in the skies, in the firmament, beloved, and named every star that he put up there. Did you know he just didn't take a bunch of stars and throw them up there for lights? He didn't do that. They have an order. They have an order in them. And beloved, they have significance. Where they were placed for a purpose and a reason. And mankind in their puny minds that believes that they know everything. We know just a few things about the stars. But beloved, God has placed them there with a purpose and in order, beloved. And guess what? They don't bump into each other. They don't drift around up there. And one star runs into another and they ping pong ball off of that into another. And you look up there, you don't see that, beloved. The sun has stayed where God said it, where he hung it, beloved, and the moon has stayed where God set it in the universe, and beloved, it will be there. The stars that he hung in the firmament, they're still there, beloved, and they'll always be there until God says that it's enough. He did that by the word of his power. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalms 19 and verse 1, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The firmament showeth his handiwork. You know what his handiwork really means? It means finger work. You look up there, you take those billions, I think they say there's about a billion stars up there. We can, with the naked eye, see about 6,000. But beloved, those billions of stars, that unending space, beloved. You think about the Milky Way. Just look up at it. It's a small thing when you look, compare it to rest of the heavens, beloved. But it's 300,000 light years just to cross over from one side to the other. That's a big chunk of real estate in the heavens, beloved. That's a humongous place. That goes beyond my ability to comprehend that. But beloved, God did that. And it was the finger work of God's hand. But there's something, beloved, I want to call your attention to. In chapter 52 of the book of Isaiah in verse 10. It said, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nations, and all of the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. He has bared his arms. Remember this vast universe, beloved. All of the planets, all of the stars, and the vast amount of space that's up there. The heavens, the suns, the moons, beloved. Everything that's up there, God just, it was just finger work for God. What made God roll up his sleeve? What made God roll up his sleeve when he's speaking to the children of Israel and literally to you and I today? Beloved, there was something that wasn't finger work. There was something, beloved, before God that required the power of God, a holy and a righteous, an omnipotent and an omniscient God, beloved. And he said, I have bared my arms that the nations might see their salvation. Was it the 13 plagues that came on the children of Israel, beloved? I don't believe that God had any problem at all calling those frogs out of the Nile. I don't think he had any problems with the lice. And the flies, beloved, I do not believe that God had any problem with the plagues. Was it hard when they came to the Red Sea and God had to roll the Red Sea back that 2 million people would gather, that would be able to walk across on dry ground? Have you ever thought for a moment, I know that movie, The Ten Commandments or something, and it shows the Red Sea rolling back, and down through the Red Sea, there's a little path, and they go down in there 4x4, 6x6 or something like that. How many years do you think it would take 2 million people to cross the Red Sea, about 4 or 6 or 10 or 15 abreast? Have you ever done the math? Take quite a while. I can guarantee you. It would take a long time. God, when he rolled back the Red Sea, brother, he probably rolled it back for a half a mile or a mile. Beloved, 2 million people crossed over in one night. Did he have to roll up his sleeve and bare his arm here to perform this mighty feat? No, I don't believe that he did. But you know when he had to bare his arm? When he told the children of Israel, you take a lamb of the flock, one without blemish, and put it up for 3 days. And on the third day, I want you to kill that little lamb. And when you kill that little lamb, you take that blood and you put it on the side post of your door and across the lintel at the top of your door. Beloved, when God the Father looked down at that, beloved, he didn't see that little lamb that was pinned up behind the house. You know what he saw? He saw a cross on Calvary's hill. And beloved, he saw the Son of God, his only begotten Son of God, beloved. And he knew that his Son, the Lamb of God, would become that sacrifice and that blood that he was looking at. He knew that it was pointing to the shed blood of the Lamb of God. When Jesus came walking on the side of the seashore, John the Baptist was baptizing. John looked up and said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." You know, God had to roll up his sleeve. Why did he do that? God spoke when he appeared, and he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God loved his Son. God loved his Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God the Father and God the Son were one. But the cross was in his future. And beloved, there was something that this godly Father, this holy Father, this sovereign Father, this eternal Father, beloved, was going to have to do, beloved. In all the eons past, beloved, all of eternity past, God has always been, and God the Son has always been, and God the Holy Spirit has always been. Hand in hand, step by step, down through the ages of eternity, they've walked shoulder to shoulder. But there was coming a time, beloved, at Calvary, when things were going to be changed. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, notice what it says. In verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Calvary was approaching. God didn't have to roll up his sleeves when they placed the blood of those lambs on their doorpost and their lintels over their doors. God didn't have to roll up his sleeve then. But brother, I tell you, when Jesus came and when they nailed him to that cross, God had to roll up his sleeves, beloved, because it was going to take the power of an omnipotent and an omniscient God, a God that loves us more than you and I will ever be able to say, a love that you and I will never be able to understand. If you want to know how much God loves you, you go stand and look at that cross, beloved, because when God saw it, he recognized that it would take the power of a holy and a sovereign and a righteous God, beloved, to do that. When they nailed him to that cross, the Apostle Paul tells us, and he made him sin for us who knew no sin. In 2 Corinthians, he tells us he made, God the Father made him, God the Son, sin for us who knew no sin. Why did he do that? That you and I might be made the righteousness of God. That you and I might be made the righteousness of God. You see, God doesn't have a shortcut to heaven. God doesn't have a back door in heaven. God doesn't have a little program where, well, if you do pretty good, you can go to heaven. A lot of people are depending on a lot of things. But brother, if you're not going by the blood, you're not going to get there. Mays Jackson used to have a saying. I loved it the first time I heard it. I've never forgot it. He says, if you want to go to the first heaven, you need an airplane. You need to get in an airplane. He said, if you want to go to the second heaven, He said, you'll need a rocket ship. You get in a rocket ship. But he said, if you want to go to the third heaven, he said, you'll need the blood. He said, you'll need the blood. That's the only way that you can get to heaven is through the shed blood of the Lamb of God, beloved. And as Jesus hung on the cross, and beloved, the last 3.5 hours, that great light that God hung in the firmament, God turned the lights out, beloved. Why? Because the light of the world was covered with the darkness of our sins, beloved. And those sins separated him from God the Father. Can you imagine that? It's hard for you and I to imagine, beloved, that God the Son and God the Father were separated. Not only that, God had to step away. God couldn't look upon his Son. God had to turn his back as Jesus hung there all alone with my old dirty, filthy sins upon that holy and that pure and that righteous body, beloved. He took my sins and the penalty of our sins, beloved, upon his own person. Did you know sin has an infinite penalty? Infinite penalty. In other words, hell and eternity are not long enough to serve out the penalty of sin. When a person goes to hell, eternity's not long enough to pay that sin debt. It can't be paid. You think about that. It can't be paid. I don't care if 100 billion, quadrillion, however much that is, years go by, there'll be that much in front of them. It'll never be paid. They'll never hear the words, you served your time, now you can go to heaven. I've heard people believe that you go to heaven or hell and suffer for a while, and then eventually everybody migrates to heaven. That's the devil's lie. Doesn't work that way. If it did, God would have said so. But it doesn't work that way. And Jesus, on his own pure body, I had my old dirty sins with an infinite penalty upon them. And only an infinite God can pay an infinite penalty. He paid your sin debt and my sin debt in full. He paid it in full. You think about that. But beloved, as he hung there with those sins upon his body, and beloved, the penalty for those sins, God had to step by and he had to turn his eyes, beloved. And he had to give power to his Son to lay his life down. Isaiah said, smitten of God the Father had to take the life of his Son, beloved, that you and I might not have to die, that we might have life, beloved. And Jesus, when they were separated for the first time in all of eternity, you all know the cry. You know the cry from the cross. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? They'd never been separated before. He was bearing my old dirty sins, beloved. And the penalty of that sin, James said, and the end of sin is death. And he was speaking of an eternal death, beloved. Of a death that I could never escape. But Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, on the altar of the cross, beloved. He took our sins and he paid our sin debts in full. God the Father had to roll up his sleeves. Had to roll up his sleeves. He says, I can speak this universe into existence. I can tell the stars to hang in the firmament. I can tell the sun to shine. I can tell the earth to revolve around that sun. Never fly out of orbit. All these years it's done exactly what God has said for it, told it to do. What if it wobbled? What if it's like one of them little speed up, what do you call them thing, tops? Some of you older folks, I don't know, kids know what those are nowadays. No? And boy, you get that thing going, and that old top would take off, just spin around. Looks good for a while, but after a while, it starts wobbling, running all over the world. What if the earth done that? What a great God that we serve tonight. How great is the God that you're serving tonight? That 300,000 light years is nothing to him. It's a stroll in his backyard. It's nothing to him. It's impossible for you and I. It's impossible for us to comprehend the magnitude of the firmament of the heavens, beloved. It's beyond our minds to understand what eternity really means. But, beloved, it's nothing for God. Why is he interested in you and I? Why does God care about us? God created us in his image and after his likeness. He created us for fellowship. He created us that we might walk with God, that we might dwell in the presence of God. Not only that, he didn't say, I'm going to make you angels. I'm going to make you beings in heaven. You and I are in the personal family of God. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're in the family of God. Everything that we have was given to you and I as a gift. But what a price that heaven had to pay. What a price that heaven had to pay. I can imagine the angels when Jesus was nailed to the cross. I can imagine the angels as they looked down upon that scene. I believe as they watched that, I believe that they would turn and look at the Heavenly Father. Is the Heavenly Father going to speak a word? And that whole earth, that corrupted earth, that corrupted man, is God the Father going to speak a word and destroy them all? Beloved, I believe that the angels could not understand why God the Father, beloved, allowed his Son to suffer and to die the death that he died, beloved. They didn't understand that. There's no redemption for a fallen angel. They're chained under darkness until the day of judgment. There's no redemptive plan for an angel. There's a redemptive plan for fallen mankind. We like to really think that we're something sometimes, that we're kind of super, that we're big feeling. I like these little pinheads that runs around and thinks they're going to change the temperature of the atmosphere of the earth. They couldn't change. I won't get into that. I get on my soapbox. I'll get away from the scriptures. But I can tell you right now, this earth's not going anywhere. The rapture of the church is going to take place. That's in the future of this earth. There's a 7-year tribulation period. There's the battle of Armageddon. There's the judgment of the nations. Pardon me. Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne of David for 1,000 years and rule this earth and bring it back to the conditions of the Garden of Eden. For 1,000 years. I know that there's another 1,007 years to go. I don't know how many years there are between now and the resurrection or the rapture of the church, beloved. If there's another 50 years, just add 50 years to that. But I know for a fact for 1,007 years, this old earth's going to be around. And after that, Satan will be loose for a season. He does the same old thing. And the people fall for the same old lines. And God simply destroys them with the sword of his mouth. God doesn't mess around with them this time. He just destroys them. And the heavens and the earth are fled away. Just goes out from under their feet. Death and hell gives up those that are in it. And you look out there in that great firmament that God created, and there's a blazing throne, the great white throne, judgment seat of God. The Lamb of God is now the judge. All power of judgment is given unto me by the Father. Jesus Christ, he'll be your judge or your Savior. Your judge or your Savior. God has a program. Moses was telling the children of Israel, you serve a great God. You serve a God that'll give you victory. You serve a God that's able to give you victory. God's able to do all things. There's nothing that God cannot do. We serve a great God. We serve a great God tonight. He goes on to tell them he's going to give them victory. He'll give them victory when they step over into the promised land. And God did that. And God did that. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. I know he's speaking to the children of Israel there. But who tonight are the saved of the Lord? Saved by the same God. By the same shed blood of the Lamb of God. God paid a terrible price that you and I might be saved. He's given it to us as a free gift. I'm going to close. But I thought as I was studying that, sometimes we don't treat God's precious salvation like we ought to. I looked in the encyclopedia. I knew about the Hope Diamond. I thought, boy, that's a big diamond. That's probably the biggest one around. When it was found, it weighed 122 carats. That's a big diamond. But there's three or four bigger than that one. The Cullinan Diamond, when they dug it out of the earth, was over 3,000 carats. 3,000 carats. The largest diamond in the history of the world that's been found. What if somebody come up and dropped that in your hand and said, this is yours? Freely given. Belongs to you. I don't know how many millions of dollars that thing would be worth. I have no idea. When they cut it, I think they cut it in, pardon me, 9 large pieces and 96 small pieces. And they still had a diamond that was over 500 carats. Millions and millions of dollars that thing's worth. Would you stick that thing in your pocket? When you got home, pick it out, you probably pitch it out there on your dresser. When you was out walking around, would you just drop it down in your shirt pocket? Would you pay any attention? Would you be careful with it? We're like that with God's salvation. The greatest gift. It's worth far more than any diamond. It's worth far more than the gold, all of the gold that this world contains. Salvation is the most precious gift and the most valuable gift that we have. And yet sometimes we don't treat it that way. We take it for granted. We don't honor God. Sometimes we don't even act like we appreciate it. God loves us. He's given us something. He's given us something that we can't comprehend. He's handed it to us as a gift. When I step in heaven, when I step into his presence, I'll understand then what God's done for me. But I want some understanding now in this life. Oh, how wonderful that the love of God is, that he would do that for me and give it to me as a free gift, freely given to whosoever will. Every person can enjoy it. God loves us. Let's not take his salvation for granted. You look at how great that God is. But yet, that little speck that's walking around down there, that's not probably worth 2 cents. They call him Kermit Hunter. God loves him. And God said, I know his name. I know where he lives. I know his family. I know the names of his family. I know the names of his grandchildren. God's a personal God. He loves us. He's watching over us. He's caring for us. God wants to bless his children. We need a closer walk with God. We need to thank God. Maybe you haven't thought about that so much. Many times when we talk to God, it's because we have a need. When we really get in earnest and start praying, it's because we have a need. Why don't we get in earnest and thank him for what he's done? Maybe everybody here tonight is saved, and I trust that you are. I trust you can say, Pastor, if I died right now, I'm just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. That's the kind of hope that God wants you to have tonight. Not a probably, not a good chance, not a maybe. My Bible doesn't have those words in it. That we might know that we pass from death unto life. John tells us. If you're here tonight and maybe you're carrying a burden, God knows about that burden, but he wants to hear from you. Why don't you bring that burden to the Lord and say, Lord, I have a need tonight. I want to talk to you about it. God wants to hear. He knows and he's able, but God wants to hear from us. But whatever your need might be tonight during this invitation, Christian, maybe it's been a long time since you just came to an altar and prayed. Sometimes we believe that's just for sinners. That's for somebody that went out and robbed a bank or sinned some great big sin. That's all that needs to go to the altar. We sin from the day that we, from the minute that we wake up to the minute that we go back to sleep. We need to thank God. We need to talk to God. This is your opportunity tonight during this invitation. Shall we stand?
Page 37.
On the very first word of the very first verse, God speaking to your heart, just step out and come tonight.
On the cross crucified,
Lord, I thank you for what you've done.
In great sorrow,
God, you're a wonderful God.
He died.
I just want to come and thank you tonight. Because you loved me enough that you gave your only begotten Son that I might have everlasting life, that I might have hope for tomorrow, that I might come to God when I have a need, and God hears and answers our prayers. When was the last time you said thank you, God? Thank you, Lord. I know you love me. I know you died just for me.
He was wounded for
us. God the Father said it wasn't easy to offer this free gift. It wasn't easy to offer salvation for those who ever lived. But God was willing to pay the price. Jesus was willing to pay the price tonight. Why don't you mind me? Why don't you come? Why don't you do what God would have you to do right now?
And by his stripes we
as these are gathered around the altar, maybe someone else says, God's speaking to me.
Christ for
I just want to come tonight and thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm coming tonight because I have a burden on my heart. I have a need in my family. I want to bring that need to you. But first, I want to thank you for Jesus and what he means to me. What our precious Lord done for me. I want to thank you, God. I want to thank you, Lord.
Perfect healing for all this wonderful.
Is there someone else that would come?
Healer's mine.
Pastor.
He was wounded for our transgression. Was bruised for our iniquity. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are
I never had a child. I didn't want it. I had a child.
Page 52.
Have you a heart that's weary, tending a load of care? Are you a soul that's seeking rest from the burden you bear? Do you know, my Jesus? Do you know, my friend? Have you your disappointments? Who knows each time you cry? Who understands your heartaches? Who dries the tears from your eyes?
Surrendered his life. And he said, "Preacher, if I'd known it was that good, I'd come sooner." I said, "I've been trying to tell you, you hothead. It's better, it's sweeter than honey, rather than honeycomb." And he also said this. These are words that he said. There were things that he'd heard Mace Jackson say. That was an old country preacher. But he also said this to me. He said, "You know what? If I could give this away, I'd never get it back." People don't realize. They don't comprehend. And you know what? The enemy says, "Don't listen to him. Yeah, he's got one more night here, and he'll be